The other question is, it's funny because every time I ask somebody about PD-1 levels of melanoma, they all say they don't do them. So I'm glad you do, because I was going to ask you, like, what's a high level? What's like the highest you would see?
I've seen people with 50, 60%, 90%.
So, for example, if this patient had had a 50, 60%, still ipi/nivo, or would you have thought about nivo alone?
That's a really hard question. If you look at the 067 data, in a retrospective post-hoc analysis looking at PD-L1 of less than 1% versus 1% or greater, in the ones who had PD-L1 1% or greater, there seemed to be no difference in overall survival between the combination and anti-PD-1 alone, ipi/nivo and anti-PD-1 alone. It was in the group that was PD-L1 negative by that assay that appeared to have most of the benefit from addition of ipi. But there are other data that suggests that, and again, it's not broken down by PD-L1 status, that the patients who get ipi/nivo, even though their survival may be the same, even when you look at it 3 or 4 years, fewer of the patients who had ipi/nivo required additional treatment beyond the anti-PD-1. So you got them into remission and they stayed in remission.
I mean, that initial data sounded like it was kind of an interesting algorithm, made a lot of sense to me anyhow, and then started asking people and kind of people, it seemed like more the way people look at it, I don't know whether you do, is if the patient can tolerate ipi/nivo and they have metastatic disease, give it to them.
That's mostly the way we approach it. But we really need more data because you're buying a whole lot more toxicity, as you'll see in this patient, by adding the ipilimumab. And if, in fact, at the end of the day, survival is going to be the same, that might not be the right strategy for a subgroup of patients.
Any other biomarkers that might be helpful or being looked at? Of course, in other cancers, tumor mutation burdens being looked at. Is that helpful at all?
Not in melanoma, not as far as I know, in terms of differentiating between using the combination versus anti-PD-1 alone. So I get it. Whether I actually act on the assay or not depends on the individual patient. If you have somebody who's 75 years old and wants treatment and has a lot of other comorbidities, and they're PD-L1 positive, that patient I might give anti-PD-1 to. On the other hand, if they're PD-L1 negative, they can still benefit from anti-PD-1 alone. We know that from the trials. But because they may get added benefit from adding ipi, if I think I can get away with it, I'll add ipi to that individual.
Just flashing out work with your colleague Dan Petrylak in GU, and I was thinking about the strategy some of the people do there, where they'll start LHR-GAGA, see how people do, and then add in whatever chemo or hormones. What about that strategy in your 70-year-old, starting with PD-1 alone and then adding ipi if the patient doesn't respond?
So I always leave that option open. If I start with anti-PD-1 alone and they don't respond, I'll then go and give them the combination if I think they can tolerate it. But I don't do that in every patient because I'm always concerned that things have changed when you've had some progression. And even though you might salvage some of those patients with a combination at that point, the tumor has grown, the tumor is bigger. Who knows how you've modified the immune microenvironment by giving anti-PD-1 alone. And so I'm not a fan of that approach in patients in whom I think I should give the combination to upfront.